Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Howdy, everyone. Hello.
Hello out there in Podcastville.
It's me, your host, Michelle Mache, your co-pilot for the day. I want to give everyone a warm welcome and hi, everyone in the chat, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment. Good to see all of you there. I do see listeners online. Hey, Laura, Tamara, welcome guests. Hey, Divine Mystic. If you want to call in, that number is 347-539-5122 and press 1 on your keypad. Those of you that are in the queue in line on the keyboard, if you have a question, a comment, please press 1 on your keypad, and that puts like a little question mark, a little question icon that lets me know that you want to chat. Gotta let me know, and that's one way to do it. So I hope everyone's doing well today and riding these fluctuations of energy. Woo, what a ride we're on. I want to also just mention a second half of the program is our Awakening Dialogue, and we have Nancy Byrne with us talking about her book Choices. She sounds very interesting. She's a spiritual psychic reader and channeler. She's also part of the American Association of Psychics, and we're going to be dialing in, tapping in with her the second half of the program. Of course, the first half we will be chatting. I'll be sharing some stuff and answering some email questions as well. So hope that interests you. Hope you stick around. If you do happen to leave, because sometimes people want a reading or to chat and then they leave, and then I'm like, hello, you're on air. So try to be close by. Also want to let everybody know that have a great another workshop I'm really dedicated. By the way, my talk at the Paradigm Shift Conference went really well, and I know some of you attended it. Some of the people that were there, Brad Axelrod, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Andrew Harvey, Savon Bomar, to name a few, and it went really, really well. Great group of beings, and which was interesting that apparently I didn't get to listen to because I was in session in the earlier ones presenting, and they had a nice setup. I did talk, and they kind of interviewed talk. We had a dialogue, which was really nice, between David Love and Lana Love, and some of you know David Love has been on the program, and he's actually really a private investigator and spiritualist as well. So, and he hosts a program, Universal Love podcast, that I was on as well. So anyway, it was kind of cool. And apparently we all kind of said a lot of the same stuff. So there was a lot about the, remember I told you about the not sugarcoating it, the radical truth, radical honesty. So apparently that was, and even Andrew Harvey, apparently, who's very much into compassion, was saying the same thing. So worth a listen. Some of the stuff, of course, I cover in my chat. I did talk about awakenings, the whole process, the converging flow. I dove into that and what we're all doing here and the signs and symptoms of that. And what is the new paradigm about the soul? Not living from the ego. What's that? That's going to be kind of amazing, right? Not that the ego is bad, but it's a function. As we move out of fear in the status quo, as we move into that unfolding, which is the truth of who we are, right? Consciousness made manifest. So as we're living more from that, there are certain functions that we will no longer need. You know, just like hardly any people use the typewriter anymore, right? So we evolve. So we are in this amazing time of evolving, amazing evolution. I also want to share, I am doing a teleworkshop this weekend, this Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. I've had some people say that they're not able to attend it, but they're going to purchase the session, and that's totally fine. You can do that. And if you are interested in that, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com or go to Eventbrite and do a search for either my name or the Path of the Soul and the Spiritual Rays. You know, I'm all about the soul. And I've got to tell you guys, I'm getting more and more excited. Oh, Tamara, you are right on it. And thank you for congratulations. Yeah, it was fun, Tamara. The paradigm shift, I decided I really want to do more of these now that my soulplayground.life is more grounded, soulplayground.com, and just share. Just kind of get back into sharing. I haven't done that in a while, years actually, on this kind of level. So yeah, I felt very kind of cool and honored to be with my distinguished colleagues. How do you like that? So yeah, it was quite a lineup, and I do think the world of Andrew Harvey, particularly, and Bruce Lipton, and they've been on our program as well. So yeah, it was kind of cool. And of course, you know me with interactive, I did the subtle energy meditation, having everybody feel their interconnectedness, and then an attunement, the ascension meditation or the focus meditation, and then have people connect into their higher self and receive their messages. You know, I'm all about the tools and the experience, not just wah, 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 talk. So it was very cool. And, was very cool. So, okay, Tamara put the link in. It's the Path of the Soul and the Spiritual Rays. So if you're interested in that, you can go to Eventbrite. And I'm going to be doing more of these. I'm also going to do some teleworkshops and in-person workshops specifically on the alchemy of relationship, because that is so prevalent right now. And we all are in this healing, peeling, letting go, integrating, and, you know, each other's energy in our own way. More and more. And that's what we're really here to do. That's the whole projection perception. That's the whole mirroring. And those that are doing it, it's an amazing dance. It's bumpy. It can be bumpy rides. I'm going to say right now, as you all know, you've heard me talk about this, we are in that harmony through conflict. So there is a lot of conflict right now, a lot of inner conflict, outer conflict, from individual to collective, to the old versus the new, the old paradigm, the new paradigm, the old you, the new you, you know, the old me, new me, what we used to want, what we no longer want, what we think we want, what we don't know we want, what do we want, you know. So there's these parts, which is part of what I do as a transpersonal psychologist, is we do a lot of, and hypnotherapists and alchemical hypnotherapists, we do a lot of parts processing, working with aspects of self. When you begin to see that everything is an expression of energy and you're expressing your energy differently, you become aware that you do have all these various parts or aspects that need to be lived out in a life-enhancing way. So, you know, one of the questions they asked me in the conference, well, what is this new paradigm and, you know, how does it change us? And I said, well, we're living this out. We're moving from having to be here. Some of them were a little doomy, gloomy, and I had to say I don't agree. You know, I had to speak my truth on that. It's just a different game. We have a different game now, and we'll get used to this too, living out from the soul, you know, less and less obstructed, and living more with unity consciousness within ourselves. You know, it has to start with us, and then feeling that unity with each other. So that is a big part of what we're all doing here. So, again, if you want to dive more into the soul and the spiritual rays and the path of the soul, I am doing a Soul Path teleworkshop this Saturday, 22nd of July, and it's called The Path of the Soul and the Spiritual Rays. And you can find out information by going to Eventbrite and just searching my name or putting that in, and I'll say it again. The teleworkshop is called The Path of the Soul and the Spiritual Rays. So I'm doing more of these because, and some with more advanced principles, esoteric principles. I'll be starting back the advanced soul entrepreneurship group, but I've changed the name to Soul Centered Living because it's not just about the entrepreneurship. It's touching on that, but it's really living, as I call, soul fueled and spirit led, and listening to that intuition. And guess what? It's not about a person or personality. It's not about me. It's about the tools. It's about the tools and connecting, using the tools to connect in with your own inner authority, your own innate abilities, your soul gifts, so that you live this way and you pass it on in whichever way you want to. Maybe it's just to your friends. Maybe it's to your family. Maybe it's to your daughter or your son. You know, maybe it's to your children. Maybe it's to your wife or your husband. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe you start your own groups of meditation. You know, you guys can, some of you have been doing my workshops for quite a while. No reason you can't go to my YouTube channel, Life Being 21, or go to my website, soulplayground.life. Look at the tools. Start passing them on. Have your own groups and go, okay, we're going to align. We're going to connect more to our higher self. You know, we're going to connect in with the design of our soul and see what we're meant to do. Or we're just going to meditate. You know, take what I'm sharing, you know, make it your own. You know, you can use it as a template. It's a beginning point. And start doing it yourself. That's the whole idea in this new paradigm, is all these small groups. Things are going to be more localized, but it's not necessarily local by geographically. It's by resonance. It's by what is your path, your purpose, what's your focus right now, and then joining with others, whether it's through a podcast like this, you know, a Skype chat, a Zoom chat, in person and, you know, virtual. It's just about the connecting and the sharing and moving through. Let us, I have a question, an email question that was pretty, from Emmanuel. Very good question. And by the way, I do love questions that have a religious tone to them, because I did study theosophy and theology and comparative religions when I first started out. That was a requirement of being a spiritualist. We had to study the religions. And I didn't study Islam as much. I got a little bit, but more of the Western, and of course Buddhism and Hinduism, but Catholicism, Christianity, and then in some of like creation-centered spirituality that I studied, and also I studied the regular Bible, and then the metaphysical Bible, which to me that's really the source, is that the Bible was an allegory or stories. We could dive into that on a whole other time. And Barry, by the way, we do have some programs that dive into that. I think when we had, can't think of her name, Reverend Joanne on Coleman. So if you do a search of Awakenings, either on iTunes or BTR, you'll find, and she studied from the Aramaic. So that's a whole other topic of what's happened with that. But anyway, so I don't have the charge on it. I just know that a lot of things have been adulterated. And I think at 14, I did have like a 2-week stint, maybe a month, as a born again Christian. I had amazing saving, and I mean, it was just amazing. What, woo, talk about phenomenon, psychic phenomenon. In fact, when I came home, my mom was like, "What's wrong with you? What are you on? Have you been drinking?" And I'm like, "No, Jesus, the Lord, I'm high." It was pretty phenomenal. And the whole demon thing came in, and I'd been smoking pot at the time, and I flushed it down the toilet, and this red entity energy came in, and all this white light. I mean, it was, yeah. And I was, you know, totally non-pot person, non-high, you know. So I've had a lot of psychic phenomenon with, I used to do depossession work. So again, but I want to say something important, that this is all within realms of belief systems, whether individually, culturally, ancestrally, or on a societal level. They're archetypes that are etched in. And so sometimes thought forms, you know, we animate them with the life force animating energy. They become part of our reality. And so form can be animated. You know, years ago when I was studying one of my metaphysical trainings, we had to get to the point where we could move a cup or a glass with our mind, and I was able to do it. So there's a lot that can be done to harness that psychic energy. What's Lars saying in the chat? It seems like the larger the group, the more likely breeds deception, greed, and corruption. Yes, and that's why I did my group dynamics teleworkshop, and I'll be doing it again in the fall. It's all wounding, and I'm telling you, every group has it. I don't care, spiritual, I'm not going to name names, but I've been there, and it doesn't matter if it's these, you know, intentional communities or spiritual communities. Bottom line is they're not doing the deeper emotional work. They're not doing the repatterning. They're not healing the emotional body, so they act out. And there can be fear and wanting to keep people roped in, and so truth gets mixed in. But how you avoid this, you know, what's that saying? Take what you like and leave the rest, or take what you can use and leave the rest, is by being connected to your own inner authority. There's no way you can get caught up in a cult or have an outer savior if you are connected to your own inner authority. That's why I'm constantly speaking on this and have tools that bring people to that. And it's great to get help. I love what I do. You know, I love helping people. I love helping people on the journey and sharing and assisting, you know, healing. But mind you, it's about the person being connected to their own source, you know. And it's just the nature, you know. It's funny because I work, weave in and out of a lot of groups, and people are a lot of times, whether they're just people that are part of the group or administratively, sharing with me the drama, what goes on. And you know what I'll say to them? I say, well, do you have a position for emotional work and accountability? Oh, no, no. Oh, really? Okay, then guess what? Never going to get rid of this toxicity unless you have that. That's what I would suggest to anybody that's starting some kind of group function, whether it's a business, a spiritual group, a community. Everybody continues to do their own inner work. I still do. Everyone continues to do their own inner work, their own healing, and you find a system of healing or inner work that has accountability that's real and has to have some form of emotional clearing or working with relating patterns, whether alpha theta healing, hypnotherapy, you know, those kinds of things, you know, and people have to kind of agree to it and sign up to it. And the counselors have to be getting counseling, you know, you just have to do it that way. Robert is saying, yes, inner authority. We know now that we do not need a large central organization to decide what they think after we die and such. Yeah. Well, groups are good. I mean, we are going, you know, we're in the Aquarian age. It is about being more group focused. And just wait. You think you've been through the rocky road on the path right now? Just wait till Pluto goes into a lovely little Aquarius. But it's a difference of, I join this group for support, or I'm a part of this group. I'm a weaver. I go in a lot of different groups. I can get along with, you know, vegans and meat eaters. I don't care. Bikers, I don't care. You know, rave dancers and ballerinas. It doesn't matter. I see the interconnectedness in all. So we got to learn how to do this. We got to get along. But part of it is also whoever's, you know, facilitator and leading also has to be open to suggestions and accountability. So, okay, enough of my rant. So the question from Emmanuel, can you answer this on the radio and on here? Well, I'm answering on the radio. So I grew up Catholic. Then I was 19. I decided to follow Jesus Christ and God. I'm now 33, magical number, and having a lot of problems with my wife. Well, that number is about getting back into the heart and feeling the heart of the matter and what matters to you. It is a number of crucifixion. Crucifixion simply means there's a crisis or a crossroads. you look at the crucifix metaphorically. And the crucifix, the one plank of wood is the vertical is longer than the horizontal. So there's usually a spiritual crisis or awakening or choice point. The white, a lot of communication problems and arguments. Your wife is a Jehovah Witness. You're saying you're a Christian, seeker of enlightenment. Can you have Jesus Christ and do spiritual enlightenment? Yes. Now, what is enlightenment? I mean, it's recognizing your light to me. One of the things I can tell you is in Christianity, there used to be the metaphysical or the more the esoteric aspect, the mystical aspect that was taken out when basically when the Western, you know, like King, you know, James began to adulterate the teachings, so, or the Bible, so the recording. My suggestion would be look up like Thomas Aquinas, Hildegard Bingham. Look up Christian mysticism. Also check out Matthew Fox, I would suggest. Also creation spirituality or creation-centered spirituality. It feels like it's not just religion with you and your wife. You would have to go to counseling or therapy, maybe somebody that's religiously open-minded but spiritually based. And I love this part. Can I do both or I can't because of my beliefs? So it's all belief, you see. You know, there's parts of the Bible that have been taken out to control people. So the part of Jesus being over in India and studying Hinduism and the mysticism of there, I could say the same thing about, you know, SRF, Buddhism, Hinduism. I would say take what you can with each and make it your own. That's what I would suggest. I would say also reframing instead of spiritual enlightenment would be spiritual awareness and spiritual integration. I think the whole idea of enlightenment is a bit of a trap. If you look up the word enlightenment, it just means of or within light. So we are light. We're dark as well. We're the void. We're both. So can't have the light without the dark, and can't have the dark without the light. So, you know, if you can look at the idea of the camera taking a picture, you know, how does that happen? But is the light refracted? But there has to be some darkness there, you know. Look at black and white photography. So we can go on and on. But yes, of course you can be a Christian and be on a spiritual path. And there are places, Unity Church is one that is very embracive. Let's see, Robert saying early Christian mystics were killed. Well, yeah, because if you're a mystic and you're having, mystic is somebody that's having a direct experience with spirit or the other dimensions or other realms. That as a mystic or shaman, you're having a direct experience with God, the all that is. And so, of course, if you want to control people, you tell them you can't have that direct contact. You have to go through me. You have to go through the guru. You have to go through the priest. You have to go through whomever, you know. So, yes. But I would, that's a good question. Of course, you can blend it all together. There's no reason not to. And, yes, it does have to do with your beliefs. You have to heal and adjust your beliefs and or change them or update them. Sometimes changing beliefs scares people. So Divine Mystic is saying it was changed so greatly from the actual teachings of Jesus and the Essenes. Yes, you have to go back to the Essenes or the Aramaic translation, which we don't have great translation. For instance, in Aramaic, when they say fear the Lord, fear meant respect. The best translation in Aramaic was respect, and Lord was law. So metaphysically, it meant respect the law. It was about the universal laws. But when they, through the translation, through, you know, the Greek translate, the Latin, you know, then the Saxons changing it, Lord meant Lord in manner, you know, it was a male principle, landlord, right? So, yes, that's why I studied derivations. That was another thing. I loved studying etymology and derivations of words and language anyway, the derivation of words and etymology, the study of language. But when I studied comparative religions, we had to do that. And so when you start looking at words and you take the derivation as back far back as you can, get those translations, you're kind of surprised, like, oh, yeah, that doesn't mean at all what it's come to mean. Good point, Gail. Old beliefs are seriously being challenged in this new paradigm. All of them. Absolutely. Anyway, hope that answers. Let's scoot on. Hey, 917-309, you're on air.
Hi, Michelle. It's Tasha. How are you?
Hey, Tasha. Welcome. I'm doing great. Great that I'm on the show with everybody.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. It was fun. It was a fun talk.
And I'm looking forward to your workshop this Saturday as well, because the last one was awesome.
Oh, goody, goody, goody.
Yeah. Quick question.
Better, so, better. Yes.
It is. So I'm in a relationship, and I don't know, like, how I'm feeling about the relationship, because he's changed, but I don't know if he's changed as a result of me not putting up with certain things anymore, or if it's just, like, a front. So I'm just calling in to see what you feel regarding him.
Well, I feel it right now, it has more to do with you, but that's okay. You know, that he's changing because you're not tolerating certain things. And in some way, in the little ways and the big ways, we do train people of how to be with us, you know, without being autocratic, you know. You can, yes, and that's, by the way, and I mentioned this on my talk yesterday in the Paradigm Shift Conference, that's what we're supposed to be doing. What the heck was everybody thinking? It's not just about what, when we teach or in session. We're supposed to be our truth 24/7, and if we see something that's unhealthy, call the person on it, or making requirements or having requests in a relationship. Okay, you can negotiate those, but then you have requirements, making people accountable, holding them accountable, and putting them in the position where they need to grow or they have to grow. And if they can't, then the vibrational frequency isn't there enough, and then they move on or you move on. Or, you know what I'm saying? So, no, keep doing it. Do it with love. Do it with openness. But be firm, you know, and just tell, you know, you can tell the person, look, I see your greatness. I'm not living under the radar and dimming my light, so why should you? You need to live up to your potential. Just put it to people straight now. We don't have any more time, and this is what, not only I was saying this, but apparently other speakers were saying it yesterday. We don't have the time or the luxury to not live our truth and speak up and call people on their stuff and call ourselves and have others call us. That's why we got the people that we got, especially Trump. That's why the shadow material is up. That's why we got what we got right now in the political system. That's why all the deception, that's why all this stuff is coming up. Not because of the regular people, the mainstreamies, but because of the light workers. We weren't stepping up enough. And now we sure are. Right? Now we're stepping up.
Right.
So, no, okay. Sweetie, you're doing great. Just keep being you. Don't turn off your teacher mode. Don't turn off your light worker mode. You just find the way to do it. You know, you find the approaches that, you know, and you're working on your stuff, so you've got your checks and balances. But no, that's why we're paired with certain people right now, is to help them grow.
Okay.
That's part of our mission of being a light worker. You know, people used to say, "Oh, you don't want to say that," or "It's being codependent." BS. No, it's not. Why do I have to turn off being the light worker and the way shower in my personal relations? That doesn't. You know,
right.
That never made sense. I don't know why we got. Kind of, we all got a little bit, I don't know, bamboozled for some reason on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're so welcome, sweetie. Good to hear from you.
Okay. You too. Bye. Blessings.
Blessings. Bye. Very good question. Okay. The 661-212. 661-212. Are you there? 661-212.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
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 Hi, who's this?
This is
Lena. How are you?
Good. What did you say, Lena?
Yeah.
Hi, Lena. What's your question?
I want to see when you see a job coming up for me. I've been out of work since around the middle of March.
March or February, I was going to say, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Well, I feel like you could have something now, kind of part-time,
yeah.
Right? Why don't you go for that?
You're very good. I just went on a job interview today, but it's only on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, just for a front desk job.
Well, to do that, that'll help the energy going. Yeah.
Yeah, I figure something's better than nothing. While I'm sitting and waiting, I can still keep applying.
Yeah, because I don't see anything possibly August, but more likely September. So I would take this part-time. Yeah.
You think it could lead to more hours, maybe at another property?
Could be, but I would take that right now. It'll help shift the energy. And
okay.
It'll definitely help get things going. All right, sweetie, but take that one.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Okay, here we go. 550-815.
Hello?
I hear you. Yes, you're on air.
Oh, okay. Hi, thank you for taking my call. My name is Miranda.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. Yes. I was wondering what you pick up regarding a potential move. I'm looking to purchase a home. I'm looking every day. Don't see anything I like yet, but just wondering what you see regarding this.
Okay. Let's see. Are you around a lot of mountains by any chance? Mountains behind you, is that where you're looking?
No, actually, I'm looking more on the flatlands.
Oh, where are you at? Because I'm seeing mountains or the hills,
okay.
Green, a lot of greenery and hills. Is that where you're at now?
The surrounding area. I'm in Northern California, so we do have a lot of mountains.
Oh, okay, that's why. I feel the energy shifts for buying more in November, and I would say you're going to have better luck if you wait till next year. And I feel that also property prices will go down more. Right now, I'm not seeing, it seems very patchy. There's going to be one place, maybe September, October, that you're kind of going to be tired of looking and think, oh, I can make do with this. I would say I would wait. If you can wait, I would wait. That's what I'm getting.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. We have a lot of other callers. So if you have a question or a comment, please press 1 on your keypad. We have a lot of listeners, I guess, by phone today. So it just disappeared. Okay. Kasha, are you still listening, I think? Okay. Well, it's a private call, 111.
Hello?
Hello. You're on air. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Frank. I was wondering if you could tell me anything about finding a job. I've been unemployed for almost 10 months now. And I was wondering if you saw anything in the near future or might have to leave the state to find a job elsewhere.
The one thing I want to say with you, what can you do, Frank, on your own while you're looking? It's so putting up notices. I don't know if it's handiwork or something. Did you build? Did you do building? I keep getting stuff with your hands.
I used to do construction.
Okay. That might be why I'm getting it. Build. Can
Can you go back into that or help out? Because I feel that's your strongest availability right now. Whether it's helping somebody else out, I don't know that it's going to be, it feels like somebody local to you full time. It could be running a job or doing something, but it feels like that's more what's open for you. The other job, whatever you are doing, seems to be, the market seems to be very closed right now. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of competition, so, not enough jobs.
Yeah. And so I would say, let me see what, you're kind of being, and you know, there's going to be more of this. And you know, people say, well, if everybody's working for themselves, you know, how do we all survive? And I'm like, well, there's more slices in the pie, and then maybe there's going to be more pies. You know, I feel that you need to look at your skills and right now, don't try to go for that one main job. Just do a little this, a little that, a little construction, a little building, little maybe maintenance work, you know, whether it's people's homes or companies that need help. Put yourself out there like that and buy yourself some time, because I'm not sure if it's going to be I feel like you could have more income coming in by working that way. It buys you some time to decide if you actually want to move or you want to slightly change your career focus. That's what, because right now I feel like the competition, whatever the job, whatever the market that you're in is very closed, is very tight right now. But your skill set of getting out there, and I know it's not what you wanted, you know, you want the insurance, you want the safety net. I don't see that right now. So, and I do feel that right now there are a lot of people in this situation, and going to be more people in the situation, and the thing to do is not to wait, but make yourself useful in, oh, I did this for many years, I can do this, I can go back into construction, or I can help run a job, or I can do this or that, I can blah, 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 blah. You know, those kinds of openings, there's going to be more of those, you know, as we move into more of the, you know, what can I say, the Aquarian age, and especially as Pluto goes into Aquarius, so right now, some systems are breaking. There's a lot of influx in certain job arenas, you know, certain career paths. In a way, it is about striking and making your own. That also helps change the energy. It's like it's easier to get a job when you have a job, easier to get a relationship when you have a relationship. I don't know. There's something about that. But that's what I would suggest to you, because I'm not seeing anything immediate in your own your new chosen field.
So the Aquarian age doesn't really mean it's going to benefit Aquarians like myself, since I have a second follow-up interview next week. I was thinking that, well maybe, you know, being in Aquarian age and being an Aquarian, I'll have some extra oomph behind the interview and get a job.
Yeah, well, what it means is people are going to have to work differently and connect more to their unique gifts and their individuality. You know, I'm seeing a lot psychically disruption in the job sphere. I'm seeing a transition, a very transitional time in a lot of the settings. Even, you know, part of my field is the media and television. You know, there's more companies going to get talent online, you know, or there's Yahoo TV, Netflix, Hulu, there's other, you know, Amazon, there's all these other outlets. So the big systems are kind of being broken down into smaller systems. And that's very much Aquarius, because it rules groups. You know, Capricorn rules structure and systems, you know, organizations, but Aquarius also has to do with the groups and how the group affects or relates to the individual. I feel a lot of fluctuation in your field. So I wouldn't depend on one thing. Even if something comes through, I really would, you know, but you'll have to play it out. You'll have to see. It's like you said, it's just unending, and it feels closed. It feels like there's like not as much not as many openings is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
But you have
like
good skills. Has it?
Well, it's been
it
close
like
that for the last 2.5-3 years.
Oh, wow.
And even before that, ever since the 2008.
Okay.
Economic downturn.
Wow.
So
okay.
I've been all this time just fluctuating between doing different things, firefighting. I was overseas in the military, so.
Oh, good. So you are doing different things. Get back with one
what?
Thing stabilized. Well, there is going to be a movement. I'm not saying just for you, but there is going to be a movement in the next few years where there will be people doing more, a little this, a little that, which is more like the soul, by the way, likes variety. And some of these larger arenas or companies or sectors, I should say, are going to be splitting up and working differently. So that hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. So for you, I definitely see work. I don't feel you're going to be out of work, but I still feel it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that for the now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Frank, take care.
Okay.
Keep your
Bye.
Chin up, okay? You've got a lot of talent. You got a lot of skills, which is good.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we talked a bit about, or I did, and then apparently the other people at the Paradigm Shift Conference talked about the changes that, I don't necessarily look cataclysmically, but I do see, they're extreme changes, whether climate, weather, economically, or how we're working. And if you just even look from a common sense point of view, the largest populations right now are the baby boomers plus and the 20-somethings, and both are in the job market. So there's a lot of restructuring that needs to happen and working differently. You know, more people are working remotely. There's this whole digital nomad, which I'm thinking of doing, working on the road. I'm just going to figure out how would I do my little awakenings. But sometimes I do. I go do my sessions. I'm at the beach, or I go to a park. Sometimes put a blanket out, or sometimes, traveling a little bit. So, I would say hold to your vision of what you want, but also be open to doing more than one thing. And it's a little bit more to juggle, I understand. It's funny, I have a really, really good client of mine who's in a particular field and just did not want to do consulting, but their field was very closed and banking, venture capitalist. And then finally got a regular, job with the health insurance. And now they wanted to go back to consulting and saw, that wasn't so bad, So now they're doing both, a little bit of both. So we're all finding our way, everyone. We're finding our way. And sometimes, remember, we've been trained or entrained. There's an entrainment to be a certain way, to have certain expectations, certain beliefs, to think you need to have 8 hours of sleep. That if you don't, this means that or that means this. There's a lot of entrainment that's come from outside of ourselves, that as we're connecting more to the soul and living more soul aligned, those things are called into question. Like, well, what do I really, what is healthy for me? What feels better for me? What makes me feel more alive or have more life-enhancing energy? Perfect. Oh, yes. Tamara's putting nature helps to reground also. Yes. And a shower or bath can shift stuff up. Yes. And also, by the way, doing what we call the emotional clearing bath, which is getting raw organic apple cider vinegar. And anywhere to 1 to 3 cups, if you could put 3 cups in, and as hot as water, bath water as you can take, and be in there
from 20 to 30 minutes, so it starts cooling down, and journaling your feelings and thoughts that come up. It really pulls up from the, not just the physical body, but the etheric body as well. And I love Radiance in the chat. Only received 2 to 3 hours of sleep last night. You'll make up for it. Look at your biorhythms. We go 4 to 6 hours. I think it's 4 hours, actually. We don't go 8 hours. So, you know, I think if you follow the biorhythms, you find your own rhythm, you'll be A-okay. All right, everyone. It's a time for our awakening dialogue. And we have with us Nancy Byrne, who I mentioned at the top of the program. And she's the author of the book Choices. Nancy majored in psychology at the University of Colorado Denver for both graduate and undergraduate degrees. She's worked as an adolescent psychiatric treatment. She's worked at a rape crisis center, also worked in major police departments as a director of victim services unit and several high-risk shelters for adolescents as well. Nancy is a spiritual psychic reader and channeler. She's a part of the prestigious American Association of Psychics. She also graduated from the Aspen Program for Psychic Development with certification in psychic development, spirit mediumship, medical intuition, Reiki. She's also a master teacher and is also an astrologer. And in Nancy's own words, she states, "It is my soul's desire to give back to the universe and to serve by assisting others on their life's journey." Welcome. Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, wonderful to have you here. And psychic all comes from the soul. Psychic and psyche comes Latin from the soul. So you really are diving into helping people heal from a soul level. It sounds wonderful.
There have been a lot of people along my path that have shown up to help me when I needed it the most. And so I feel like you pay it forward.
That's right. That's so true. Yeah, what you mentioned. So tell us a little bit about your path and your first awakening. And then, of course, the awakening that got you to become a spiritual psychic reader and to help others in that way.
Well, I was born into a pretty pretty abusive family. My father primarily beat me and raped me starting at a very young age. But my mom is pretty abusive, too. She would do things like, you know, lock me in the garage for hours and hours. And at the time, it was just a dirt floor and no windows at all. But I think my very first experience with spirit, if you will, was when I was about 10. We lived across the street from the Catholic Church, and for some reason I was just so depressed, and I snuck out of the house. Dad had been gone to the bar, and so I snuck out and went to the church and walked in. Of course, he didn't lock the doors, and walked up to the front pew and knelt down, and it was totally dark except for 2 penance candles that someone had lit. And I was just bawling and sobbing and begging God to please, please, please let me die. And my rationale was, there's so many people that want to live and they die. I want to die. Please, why are you making me live? Let me die and let somebody who wants to live, live. It made sense to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I thought it was the priest, and he's going to drag me home or take me home, and then I get beat up for sneaking out of the house. And I turned around, and there was no one there. And I even looked kind of behind, even made sure somebody wasn't hiding down behind the pew. And when I looked back at the altar, it was all lit up in this amazing golden light. You know, people talk about white light, but this is just a really soft, warm, golden light. And at that moment, I felt really, even as a kid, so ashamed of myself that I'd been given this wonderful gift of life, and I was just throwing it back in spirit space because it was too hard. I didn't want to do it. And I left the church, and I went home, I ran home, and, you know, it's not like anything changed dramatically at home, but it just, I knew that somebody cared about me for the first time in my entire life, that, you know, Spirit, which let me feel at least His presence, and at least it gave me, I think it changed the way I looked at things or my attitude. I felt like maybe I was, you know, lovable, and maybe I was, you know, worthy or capable of being loved. And it just, it really did impact my life. And then throughout my life, I've had a lot of experiences that have happened to me. Well, not tons, but that have, I realized that, I guess, first of all, I'm kind of talking in circles here. First of all, I think as a kid, I realized that, you know, Spirit was the only one that was there for me, because I didn't have a family that loved me. I wasn't allowed to go out and play with other kids. I just, you know, went to school and came back home and cleaned the house and paid the bills. And so Spirit was my only recourse.
And
I believe that, exactly, both. And I believe that, this is just what I believe, is that before we're even born, our souls know the lessons we need to learn, and we pick those lessons, you know, we pick the lives we have so that we can learn the lessons. And I just feel like that was, you know, I really learned that I'm really tough. I'm really strong. And I never felt strong. I mean, as a kid, you feel totally disempowered and weak and vulnerable and terrified. And I always felt like I was hiding in the corner shaking sometimes. And I'm definitely not only a survivor, but a thriver. And I think that we all have that in us. It's amazing what we can do when we have to do it. So,
Absolutely. Now, Nancy, let me ask you, how did you cope? How did you cope when you were going through that when you were growing up? What were some of your, sounds like at one point you had Spirit, you had that spiritual energy to help you.
I think we always have Spirit to help us. We just don't really realize it. And I believe that some of the times when, most of the time when kids have imaginary play friends, it's, you know, they're angels or their spirit guides helping them. And then we as parents say, you know, you're a little old for that, and people are going to think you're crazy having an imaginary friend, and time to put that away. No, it's really time to cherish it and nurture that relationship, because I think we lose so much by listening to, you know, the dictates of society, you know, religious norms, just social regulations. And it's just, you know, Spirit gives us everything we need. We have the greatest ally we could ever ask for, and instead we choose to listen to the mindless chatter of everyone else around us, and they don't know any more than we know. And you know, that really struck me when I went, I had the opportunity to be a featured author at the Louise Hay I Can Do It conference in Denver. And I was so excited, and people stood in line to buy the book, and they stood in line for over an hour to get the book, and then they ran out. But it really hit me that people are all looking for somebody to put on a pedestal and to worship, and we already have somebody. You know, we have all the answers within ourselves. We really don't need, you know, to seek out, you know, a Buddha, a miracle worker, you know, some sort of a guru. We have all the answers. We just don't realize that we do, and we don't take the time to listen. And it does take time.
But do we really? I mean, I look back at some of the things I went through, and I really did need teachers. I think I always had, in myself being psychic since birth, being a psychic and a channeler, but I did need guidance, and I needed good teachers, whether it was academically, you know, whether, you know, preschool or whatever. You know, I think when we get on the other side of that, I think it's easy to say we all know the answers. But I don't know. I've met a lot of people that don't have the answers and are very lost and need a lot of help, and I've been there too. I think that's why people listen to podcasts like this or perhaps even read your book, I think people are searching for also commonality. You know, they do need help. I think I think that's why self-help is so big. I think people do need help. That's just I'm gonna throw that out there. It's important.
And that's very true, and that's why I feel like I am trying to get the message to people. I'm not implying that you don't need help. I get a reading once a year just to confirm and validate what I'm getting for myself. But what I mean is it's just we put our lives in the hands of some people. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is people go overboard sometimes. You know, mm-hmm. people were coming up to me and, like, trying to touch me and touch my hand. And it was just like I was some sort of because I wrote a book. How many people write books? And it was just, how did you do it? Oh, my gosh, I've always wanted to write a book. I just don't have it in me. Oh, my gosh, you're at the Louise Hay I Can Do It conference. And it was just like they want somebody, you know, that they can just look up to. And sometimes
inspire.
We find false teachers and we find the wrong
That's
people.
True.
And the yeah. only one I believe that you can, because we're human. I mean, you and I and everybody else that's on this plane right now is human. And as human beings, we do the very best we can, but we are not perfect. And I'm not
right.
perfect. Sometimes I don't practice what I preach for myself. And I know that it's true, you know, but we fall into, you know, I've had some health problems, and it surprised me how quickly I was like, oh, my God, this is doom and gloom. I know. Mm. If anyone knows, I know the only one I can rely on all the time is Spirit. Spirit has my back, and Spirit has told me, you know, to involve him in everything that I do, and everything that I do will prosper. And sometimes you get bad advice from other people. When I wrote the book, Spirit told me to write the book and that it would be my flavor that attracted people mm-hmm. to the book, and that my life would help so many others who have gone through similar situations and feel all alone. And so I went out and I wrote the book, and I didn't even really write the book. It was like it was being dictated to me. It was all done through automatic writing. I finished the book in about 4 weeks, and not finished it. I had left one chapter. And then I went out with a friend of mine. She was a PhD psychologist, and she was a bestseller. And I asked her, I said, this is my first book. I don't know how to get it published. I don't know anything. I just been listening to what Spirit told me. And so, what advice would you have for me? And she said, oh, Nancy, she said, I would never write another book. It is an exercise in futility. She said, you have to do all the marketing. You have to do all the promoting. And she said, you know, you can't do it all. You can't talk and promote and market and do everything else. And she said, and plus, it costs $65,000. And I just, oh, my God, that's a deal breaker. I don't have $65,000. And so I put the book on the shelf for a year. Spirit had asked me to write the book, but I listened to another human being just like me.
Yeah.
And finally, after about a year or so, Spirit said, I woke up and Spirit said, Nancy, you really have to finish writing the book if you want me to help you get it published. So I went out into my front yard with my cottonwood tree, with my two Doberman, my cats, and all the bees, because I used to raise bees, and finished writing the book. And that same day, I found the publisher. So, you know, Spirit sees the whole big picture, the whole, you know, magnitude of the universe, and we don't. We see life through blinders. And sometimes we all think we have the answers, and we don't. But Spirit knows exactly what you need, even more than we do, and when you need it. And timing is important, too. I was on a show yesterday.
Timing is huge, right?
It is. I was telling someone that, you know, they were talking about relationships, and, you know, if I would have met my husband 5 years before I met him, it would have never worked out, ever. You know, I thought he was the most egotistical person on the face of the earth. And you know, it wasn't the timing. We were two different people at that time. And now it's just, I mean, it's he's really my soulmate. It all has come together. And but it just, we want to rush things. And sometimes it's just not the right time. You know, it's better to wait and have a perfect relationship than to rush in and end up with two or three bad ones just so you'll have someone in your life. I mean, you get what you're willing to settle for. And personally, I want the very best. That's all I want to settle for. And I think we should all want the very best in our lives because we each deserve it. At one point in my life, I felt like I was stagnating, and it had been going on for about 3 or 4 months, and I was just, oh, my God, what's happening? I'm not 20 years old anymore. You know, I'm supposed to be doing this and this and this, and here I am just, you know, twiddling my fingers. And I went and picked a rune, and it said, be still. Well, I didn't like that rune at all, so I threw it back in the bag and, you know, jumbled it all up and everything, and I reached in at the very bottom and grabbed another rune. Be still. So I emptied the whole bag out. I poured them all back in. I shook them up, and I reached in with my right hand. Be still. And I thought, ah, I don't want to hear that. I'm tired of hearing that. And I literally threw the bag, and it hit the bookshelf, and a book fell out, and it was Carolyn Mace's Sacred Contracts. And it was open to this page, and I read it, and she's talking about the same thing. She had a dream that she was in this, you know, single craft airplane. She was flying. She was a pilot. And there was a voice at the tower giving everyone clearance to take off, and she assumed that was God's voice. And so all the planes took off, and she was still there. And she waited, and she was trying to be very patient, and she waited and waited. And finally she said, hey, what about me? Did you forget about me? And the voice said, no, you can't take off yet. You're not ready. If you take off now, you'll crash. So sometimes we just have to trust that Spirit knows more than we do. And
That's why we need to consult there, right? Let go and get out of the ego, right? And connect to that part.
And we don't realize that we all have this whole entourage of, you know, angels, archangels, spirit guides, you know, even animal guides, just, and they're there for the sole purpose of having us navigate through this life. And we don't call upon them. Half of them are bored out of their minds, you know, and it's I think what you said, I believe what you said is really true. We do need sometimes people to guide us and to, you know, give us suggestions, because when we're wallowing in self-pity or in the mire, we really aren't thinking straight, you know. Maslow's theory, you know, of hierarchy, I mean,
absolutely.
If you're drowning, you're not going to be thinking about learning to play the piano,
That's right. You know.
You're just trying to get out of the quicksand. And so that's why we're all here, is to try to lend a helping hand, because I believe that everybody that's out there right now, especially at this time, we've all been, you know, pretty much through hell and back in some area or another, and we really want to help other people to maybe take a little detour and miss or not have to go through it so badly, or just help people see the way. Because, you know, to the listeners, I promise you, when you learn to listen and to walk and to talk with Spirit, your whole life changes. I am not promising that it's going to be perfect, because it probably won't until you're ready to cross over, you know, but and God isn't testing you. It's not like we're being punished by some evil, horrible, you know, vengeful person out there who gives us our free will and then smites us the minute we utilize it.
Right.
What Spirit told me is that we are being given a tremendous opportunity for growth and personal empowerment. You know, when you're so terrified to do something, and you think an obstacle is insurmountable, and somehow you muster up the strength and the courage to do it anyway, and you succeed. Oh, my God. Your confidence just soars, and your confidence not only in yourself but in spirit, too. And it just it shows you what you can do. Spirit knows what you're capable of. Spirit doesn't give you something so that you can fail and lose confidence and just think you're worthless. Spirit is always trying to get us to grow and to become the person that we were intended to be. But lots of us have been taught that we're sinners, and, you know, if we don't do this and we don't adhere to this and that, and lots of us, I just tuned in when you were talking or somebody was talking on your show about how most of our values and beliefs, they're not even ours. And they're not.
Yeah, they're not.
I mean,
no. So true, isn't it?
And then we
passed on, and we take them as a lot of people take them as true. And it's been somebody's opinion, right? That's
right. And then we take these to be our core beliefs, and we spend our entire lives defending them, and it's not even who we are. And it's just, it's, you know, that's why
a suggestion to have people check their beliefs, because I so agree with you. I spoke about this at the top of the program, is when you're really connected to your own inner authority, you rarely, if ever, really rarely get kind of hoodwinked or brought into cults, or, you know, you don't have those kinds of experiences. There's something, I don't know, stuff doesn't stick. You know, you have that, the energy or the guidance of spirit, you know, nudging you. It's that whole take what you can, leave the rest. And I think that might be something you're speaking to, that I feel that so many don't do, is to develop that part of themselves so they can really hear and feel and listen. What would you suggest to people to help people develop, first of all, see that part of themselves is so important, and how to connect and develop and reinforce that part?
You know, I really don't have a cookbook answer. You know, 10 minutes do this, 3 minutes do that.
No,
I just feel that when you have a best friend, you know, you nurture that relationship. You talk to each other, and you share your souls with the other person, and you are happy to see each other. You don't just have a best friend and call them when you're in dire need. Oh, my God, my car's broken. Can you come and save me? Oh, my God, I got this, you know, result from the doctor. And that's not a best friend. Or you're not being a best friend. And, you know, spirit, believe it or not, wants to build a relationship with you. And wants, it's like, I come from from the Roman Catholic Church, and so I guess I'm not trying to promote anything. It's just kind of, I feel like that spirit is like a wonderful, wonderful, loving parent that wants to give you everything, take care of you, protect you, you know, but sometimes you have to let your kids go out and they fall when they're learning to ride a bike. But it's their tenacity. If the kid gives up and refuses after it falls one time, then you're not going to be able to help them, you know, ride the bike usually, because they're so riddled with fear. And so I think it's important to build a relationship with spirit. In most religions, go to church, you know, once a day, or I mean once a week for an hour, maybe 2 hours. And, I wrote in the book, I think the spirit's getting the short end of the stick. I believe that every day, you know, spirit is in your life. You don't just go to church when you're walking out in nature, when you're just, you know, just thinking, and be grateful for everything that you've been given. I stub my toe and I'm like, oh, my God, the pain is unbearable. Oh, I can't believe it. And then you see someone without a leg, and it's just like, oh, my gosh, what a drama queen. You know, we just we need to just build that. It doesn't happen overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day. And that's one of the things the spirit keeps telling me. It's one stone on another. It's incrementally. And just involve me in everything. Include me in everything. And so I do. Whenever I have a problem or something's bothering me, and it doesn't have to be large or small. I do automatic writing practically at least every other day for sure, and sometimes every day. And I always get the right answers, and it blows me away. But Spirit wants to give you the answers, but you need to ask too. It's not just like, and you need to take action. It's if I give you a check for $1 million, it's not going to do you any good, which I wouldn't, by the way, because I don't have it. But you have to go to the bank, and you have to either cash it or deposit it, or it's just going to sit there, and I might as well not have.
Yeah.
And we have all been given so many gifts, and then we don't use them because we don't think we're worthy. I know when I first started doing automatic writing, because of my upbringing, I wondered, you know, oh, my God, what if I'm not talking to God? What if it's somebody else, you know? And Spirit said, no, if you ask me for something, I have unconditional love for you, and I will give you what you ask for. And there's a place even in the Bible that says you don't ask for a piece of bread and get a stone or a scorpion or whatever.
What?
And I really believe that. And it's just we all say we believe in Spirit, we trust in Spirit, but you know what? We don't. We're so scared that we're evil, bad, undeserving people. The Spirit would not bother to help us out, or that we're undeserving, or that, you know, he is a vengeful, terrible, horrible God, and we're scared to ask him for anything because, you know, we've sinned, and what if we just burn in hell? And you know what? Most of us are living in hell right now anyway. So why not take a chance and make your life better? And whatever we put energy towards is what we're going to attract. So if all you think about is a doom and gloom and how can you get out of it and it's horrible and you're miserable and why is this happening to you, you just keep attracting the same thing. And it takes as much energy to think positive, happy thoughts as it does to think negative, gloomy thoughts. It's just a matter, I think, of trying to have an attitude adjustment and asking Spirit to help you. And you'll get the answers. Somebody will, you know, come in your path, or you'll... one of the things that's been so amazing to me is because I'm on all these talk shows, and it's like most of the people we really form... friendships. I mean, they call me after and we discuss things and we talk, and I feel like, my God, I just have this huge family of people that are here to support me, that really care about me. And that's another thing. We all want people to love us for who we are. We don't let anybody know who we are. We all wear masks because we think we're not acceptable.
That's a good point.
You know? And one day I was asked to do, I had a friend who's a therapist, and she asked me, she said that with my spiritual background too and my background in psychology, she thought I could help her clients more than she could, and she wanted me to do a teaching, like, and I was, Reclaiming the Goddess Within. And I was so honored because, I mean, she had this really elite office in Cherry Creek and everything, and so I was got all dressed up and my makeup, and I'm getting out there, and I knew the whole spiel, what I was going to talk about and everything. I was going to wow them, and I'm getting ready to walk out the door, and Spirit said, when you introduce yourself, this is what I want you to say. I want you to say that you love yourself more than anybody else that you know. You have more integrity than anyone you've ever met. You have a good heart. You're compassionate. You're approachable, you care about people, and that you're a beautiful human being. And I was like, there goes my shot. And I was like, oh, my God. And especially, you know, saying that I'm a beautiful human being is really difficult because all my life I was the ugly duckling and the black sheep of the family. And so I told my husband about it, and the look on his face, and then he said, well, I guess if you pulled it off, it would be great. And then I picked up a friend who used to go to all the trainings with me, and I told her, and she said, are you going to say that? And I said, hell no. And so then I got there and I told everyone I wanted them to introduce themselves. And it was like, I mean, it really was almost like spirit took over because I did not want to do this. And I said, but let me go first to show you, to, you know, show you what I want you to do. And I told them, and when I said I was beautiful, oh my God, I thought they were going to fall off their chairs. They were rolling their eyes and looking at each other. And it didn't even bother me. I mean, normally I would think, oh my God, I really blew it. Oh, I put my foot in my mouth. Oh, I'm never going to be asked back. But I didn't think that at all. I just said, you know, we all want to be loved for who we really are, but we don't let others know who we are. I said, all we do is give each other titles, and that's not who we are in our souls. When you introduce yourselves, no one cares if you're a doctor or a lawyer, a stenographer, or you pick up the trash, or you're a mother or a daughter. What is in your soul? Who are you really from the depths of your heart? What are your fears? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? That's what we want to know about you. And that's what I want you to, you know, to tell each other when you introduce yourselves. And it started out a little shaky, but by the end, everyone was in tears and they were all hugging each other. And they all realize that we all want the same things. We all want to be loved and accepted. But we stand behind our titles of, oh, my God, I am this brilliant heart surgeon. Or, you know, that's not who you are. You're a human being. You're flesh and blood. If somebody cuts you, you're going to bleed, you know. And we just all want to be accepted. And we all have fears and doubts. And, you know, we worry about things. If we could just look past, you know, judging people and looking at their flaws and realize there's good in everybody, every single person, and see the good, find the good. That's our job, is to find the good in other people. And know that Spirit loves everybody just as much as you are loved. You know, the husband that's had affairs and the, you know, the unfit mother, the sister who's, you know, taking advantage of you. They're all human beings. And the bottom line is everyone's just trying to do the best they can. And sometimes people are so terrified they just don't know how to do any better. I read a story or something, and I think it was New York Times a long time ago, about this this journalist, and he was an award-winning journalist, and he had heard about these two identical brothers, and one was in prison was on death row for being a serial murderer, and the other one had received some sort of prize for service to humanity and was a priest, and he just wondered, you know, what's the difference? They were born in the same family. How could they live such, you know, opposite lives? And so he got permission to go interview them, and he went and talked to the man that was on death row, and he said, what do you attribute, you know, how you ended up in life? I mean, you have the death penalty, and what created that, you know, in you? And he said, I really didn't have much of a choice. He said, our dad was a drunk. He beat us ruthlessly. And he said, what choice did I have but to take out my pent-up frustrations and my anger on other people? That's the only thing I knew. That's what you do. We saw our dad do it all the time. And then the journalist went and talked to the priest, and he said, you've received the, and I don't know if it was a Nobel Prize or some prize for your service to humanity. And he said, I just wonder, what was it that, you know, that caused you to do this? I mean, how did you, you know, become such a compassionate person that wants to give back so much? And the priest said, he told him the same story. He said, you know, our dad was a drunk. He beat us ruthlessly. He said he didn't love us. And he said, what choice did I have but to try to give back to the world something, because he had taken so much. And I just wanted to give back some joy to the world. So we all have choices, whether we think we do or not. And sometimes things happen to us and we don't understand, but we can either react or we can respond, you know. And the choices we make in our lives today are going to affect the rest of our lives forever.
Now, is that the premise of your book? Is that what got you towards that, is looking at the choice, like why one person would choose, like explained by your wonderful story here, your allegory, that we do have that choice. I mean, obviously one for love, one more conscious, and perhaps one not as much, you know.
Spirit told me that was what I was supposed to, you know, to call the book. I thought, wow, that's, you know, I didn't really get it when I was writing the book. And also Spirit said it was really, I had to have a rainbow on the book. It had to have a rainbow, and I was trying to think, why a rainbow? But, you know, we all think about the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We are the pot of gold. We are the miracle that we've been seeking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I don't know. It's just, you know, when I was talking about Spirit not, you know, not testing us, it's not fun when you're going through these things. My dad tried to drown me as a little kid, and I still remember trying to breathe and water's getting in your lungs and how scary it is and the dark, murky water and everything. And then Spirit moved me to Whidbey Island. Of all things. I was born and raised in Colorado. I really loved the mountains of Colorado. I loved Colorado. I never wanted to leave Colorado. I mean, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is gorgeous. And then I wrote the book. And I was seeing a massage therapist, and she said, Nancy, we have a vacation home on Whidbey Island. She said, why don't you and your husband come and stay a week with us, and I will have a book signing for you. Oh, my God, book signing. I had arrived. That's all I could, bells went off in my head. And I didn't even hear the word. It didn't register island. And so I went home and told Phil about it, and he said, oh, I've heard it's a beautiful place. He said, I've never been there, but I've been to Seattle, and I really like that area. And he said, we've got the time. And so we got the tickets, and we booked our flights and everything. 3 days before we were supposed to come out, Michelle called me, and she said, Nancy, I'm really sorry, but I can't have a book signing for you. She said, Matt is getting transferred, has been transferred. We have to get our house in Parker ready to sell. And she said, we're going to be moving to Whidbey permanently, but I love your energy. She said, I just really want your energy in my house. So we don't have to be there. Come and get the key, and I'll give you the combination to get in, and just come and stay. And I was so disappointed. I was really disappointed in Spirit, because I thought he'd been giving me this great book signing, you know, event.
Right.
And so I wanted to cancel, and Phil said, Nancy, the tickets are non-refundable. He said, we've already got the time off. So he said, let's just go and enjoy it. And so we came, but it still hadn't registered that it was an island with water, surrounded by water. And when he drove to the ferry, I almost had a panic attack. I was like, no, honey, no, I'm not getting on that boat, no. And he's like, Nancy, this is the only way to the island. And it's not. There's another way, but it's equally harrowing over this huge suspension bridge, you know. I was like, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go on a boat, Phil. And I'm scared. And he said, well, he goes, you know, we don't have reservations anywhere else. It's tourist season. He said, I don't even think we could find a place in Seattle. And it's just, and Seattle, it's not as nice as the island. He said, come on, you can do this. It's just a 15-minute ferry ride. Well, it was the longest 15-minute ferry ride I think I've ever experienced. My fingernail marks, I'm surprised they didn't charge us for new upholstery for the car, because I was grabbing hold of that car, and I shut my eyes the whole way. And we got here to the island, and I just was miserable. I made myself miserable because I was upset, and upset with Spirit, and I felt like I'd been betrayed and deceived, and I wasn't having my book signing, and I didn't want to be on an island. And I just basically stayed at her house and watched the little deer playing underneath her deck and everything. And then it was time to go back. And the minute we got home, I did another automatic writing, and I said, You're Almighty God. You know everything. Why did you have Michelle invite me to go to the island when you knew she wasn't going to have a book signing for me? And Spirit wrote back and said, I had Michelle invite you to Whidbey Island because you're going to be moving there. I said, bet me. There is no way. I'm not moving to an island. I'm not crazy. And but then, you know, how Spirit is really tenacious. I just kept having these dreams about being in the water. And it was so, it was wonderful. I was, at one point, I was swimming in the, deep down at kind of the bottom of the ocean. And you could see the coral and all this different plant life and the fish. And I was swimming with the great white shark and a little blowfish. And I could breathe underwater. And it was the best dream I'd ever had. And I woke up and thought, oh, my God, that's weird. I could breathe underwater. And then I had another dream. And I thought I was in the swimming pool. And so I was swimming around and just enjoying the water was moving me around and taking me places. And it was so fun and it was so freeing. And I just felt like it was just really cool. And all of a sudden I realized I was in the ocean. I wasn't in the swimming pool, and I panicked. And then I started floundering in the water. I started, you know, to sink. And then all of a sudden, I was back in the swimming pool, and it was okay again. And it just, you know, it was just my mindset because I can swim. And so I did another writing, and I said, I don't know how I could have been so wrong, and I didn't understand you. Was it because I was traumatized from going to that island? And Spirit said, no. You understood what I want you to do. He said, Nancy, you need to learn to let go. You still need to learn to let go, and you need to trust. And you'll flourish on the island, and our book will flourish on the island. And I want you to be there by the end of the summer. And it had been June, the end of June, when we were here the first time. And so I was just like, wow. And I don't know. It must have been, I really think Spirit just helped me, because I have led a fear-based life my entire life. And I told
Phil,
and he
said, it helped you move past that fear. And what a little guardian angel Phil is for you. I mean, you were able to move past that fear.
I know.
Kind of tricked you
into moving
past the fear, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. And Phil says, honey, we can't leave all this. He says, we have acreage. You know, we just, our animals love it here. He always tells me the animals love it, because if he doesn't want to do something. But I said, well, he said, I'm not going. And I said, and I can't believe I said this. I said, well, I am learning to trust in God and not in man, and I'm going if Spirit wants me to go. And he looked at me and he said, honest, you go without me? And I said, yeah, I am. So he said, well, he wouldn't stand in my way. And he, we got everything. We put our house, we came back to the island and found a house, the perfect house. The minute we drove down the driveway, I said, this is where I belong. I saw all the huge trees. I mean, the trees are, yeah. And I felt Spirit's presence. I didn't even go in the house. I started walking in the woods, and I started crying. And the little lady thought I was crazy because I lifted up my hands, and I started crying. And I said, this is where I belong. And so anyway, we put an offer on the house, and they took it, and we went back, and we had to get our house on the market right away because, you know, we already owned a house, and so this is kind of a contingency sale. We went home, and everything, you know, went really pretty smoothly, and then everybody, all my friends were saying, oh, my God, Nancy, you really do listen to Spirit. I mean, my God, you're so spiritual. You know, you talk your talk, and I was feeling pretty proud of myself and pretty smug, you know, yep. I really do listen to Spirit. Well, so then we rented these two big trucks to carry our stuff, and my husband got a RV so that we could have our four cats and my dog with us and all be together. And my grandson drove my Jeep. And so we had to be here by 3 days to meet the moving vans and everything. And so about the second day out, it was, you know, my grandson called and said, Grandma, can you please come and drive your Jeep? I'm really tired, and I just want to take a nap. And so I said, sure, honey. And we pulled over into a rest stop, and he, Braxton, got in the RV, and I got in my Jeep, and I told Phil, I said, don't leave without me. I have to adjust the mirrors. I have to put on my sunglasses. And I have to put my seatbelt on. Make sure you don't leave without me. you know, Phil, because I'll get lost. He said, okay. And he took off. Just like,
he took off.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
and so
God.
I'm trying to call him. No cell phone coverage. And I'm trying to plug
oh,
in Garmin.
God.
But it was hooked up to Colorado, and I'm not good with electronics. So I thought I saw him
so
turn right. What?
Nancy, we're out of time now. We're out of time.
Oh,
we'll have
no.
to have you back for your great stories. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, great.
Boy, well,
I
you're
guess...
showing how you listen to spirit so much, and your book goes into that and the importance of, and I like how you put it, developing that relationship. And I agree with you. I think it is about developing the relationship, like you said.
Well,
like
thank
with
you
a friend.
For having me on your show. And I just would like to say one more thing. If I could only leave one thing with you, is just to thine own self, mm. always be true. Just always be true to yourself.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Nancy. Thanks for being a part of Awakenings. It was great for you to have you come on the program and share. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right, everyone. That was Nancy Byrne, and her book is Choices. You can find out more about Nancy and her work and her book Choices by going to choices-nib.com. And again, our guest was Nancy Byrne. Thank you all for being a part of Awakenings, this wonderful community of sharing. It's always great to be here with you every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. If you didn't get your questions answered and you still have questions answered or you wanted a reading, I'm here next Wednesday, every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. So join me then. Also, if you wanted to find out information about the Soul Path Teleworkshop, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com or just go to Eventbrite and do a search of me or go to the Path of the Soul and the Spiritual Rays. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakened conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.